Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. The solar panels that are sitting on top of thousands of U.S. roofs, the ones that are supposed to help America's green economy, where do they come from?
Yeah, so the process, for making a solar panel, we should start there. So it starts with the raw materials. And then, you know, that then turns into polysilicon, which in turn turns into ingots and wafers and then cells. And then in the end, all comes together to be made into a solar module. Which is all to say, this material, polysilicon, it's a really critical material in the production of most solar panels we see today.
These people are systematically oppressed by their own government.
It's estimated more than a million men and women have been detained in the camps in China's northwest Xinjiang region. China claims the camps are re-education centers to de-radicalize Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities.
Currently, about half of the world's supply of polysilicon comes from Xinjiang, the province in China where the Chinese government has been accused of genocide by the U.S. government against thousands of ethnic Uyghur Muslims.
Under Chinese President Xi Jinping, a September 2018 Human Rights Watch report found that the Chinese government was using brutal coercive practices against Uyghur Muslims in many of these internment camps, including the use of murder, torture, arbitrary arrest and detention, extrajudicial executions, and gang rapes and systemic sexual assaults.
We should note that's an allegation that the Chinese deny.
Have you been to Xinjiang yourself?
No, I never have.
You know, Xinjiang is regarded as the most beautiful place in Xinjiang.
Ambassador, that is not beautiful coverage, however, is it?
You know, sometimes you have a transfer of a prisons and prisoners, you know, in any country.
But we've seen reports and research for a while now detailing the forced labor in this region and, you know, in the supply of polysilicon.
Today, Politico's Kelsey Tamburino on the Biden administration's plan to separate America's solar panels from the suspected Chinese human rights abuses. It's Tuesday, June 22nd. Kelsey, this issue kind of puts the Biden administration in the position of having to weigh its plans on climate change against whether they want to reach their targets by, in a way, making all these human rights abuses profitable. What do we know about where the administration is standing on this?
So recently, President Biden attended the G7, and the joint communique that came out of that summit specifically called on China to respect human rights and fundamental freedoms, especially in this region of China. And, you know, in the trade portion of the document, the countries said they were all concerned by the use of forced labor in the global supply chains, including in solar energy. So, you know, the administration has come out against this, much like the Trump administration did. The Trump administration took actions on import restrictions on cotton and tomatoes. So the Biden administration is now kind of weighing what it's going to do about this issue of the solar supply. And, you know, sources that I, our colleague Gavin Bade, talked to said that the administration is considering banning imports of this material, polysilicon, from the Xinjiang region. That's all amid this pressure that we're seeing at the G7, as well as from bipartisan lawmakers who have been actively and vocally pushing the administration on this issue for some time.
And so how would a ban on this product work in practice? Would it be against certain companies, region-wide, or just kind of very broad?
That's kind of what we're still waiting to see. The timing and the specifics of this are still kind of in flux. But what is being considered is called a withhold release order, which would allow the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to basically seize at U.S. ports any imports it suspects of being made with forced labor. The Biden administration is weighing what to do. Like I said, it could opt for a narrow focus against specific companies or factories, but also it could go for a region-wide ban of polysilicon.
And what has the private sector said?
So SEIA, the Solar Energy Industries Association, they've been vocal on this issue for a while. They signed a pledge earlier this year committing to help ensure that the solar supply chain is free of forced labor. They also released a traceability protocol earlier this year that would help their members and companies track products. And, you know, they've called on their members to exit Xinjiang by the end of this year. But they have said, you know, that regardless of what action the federal government takes, they are already trying to get out of the region. And they believe that there's enough supply of polysilicon outside of Xinjiang to supply the U.S. in its needs. You know, the Biden administration has had to grapple with supply chains beyond the solar industry in its call to transition to cleaner energy. They've examined in semiconductors. It's something that they're looking at in EVs and batteries. In the case of solar, there are some manufacturers of polysilicon in the U.S. SIA has said that they're basically in the step before you see a lot of push for manufacturing. Obviously, they're hoping to see some action in some tax credits and some support from lawmakers on the Hill to build that manufacturing more so in the U.S., but, you know, they're hopeful that going forward we'll see more.
Yesterday, the president of the Solar Energy Industries Association called to increase domestic production of solar equipment by tenfold during the present decade. In a statement, Abigail Ross Hopper said the U.S. does not need to produce every solar component installed domestically, but, quote, we do need to fill critical gaps in our supply chain. Also, yesterday, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin released his energy infrastructure priorities. In a discussion draft posted quietly online, Manchin outlines a multi-billion dollar program to assist struggling nuclear facilities over the next 5 years. The plan would also fund projects targeting energy storage, advanced reactors, and carbon capture and sequestration, and establish a $5 billion program to plug abandoned oil and gas wells that release methane emissions across the country. Manchin's plan would also provide more than $11 billion for the Abandoned Mine Land Reclamation Fund, which helps clean up abandoned mining sites and would help boost solar and clean energy projects on these old mine sites. Expect Manchin, who is not just the Democrats' most suspenseful vote, but also the Senate Energy Chair, to push very hard for these provisions to make it into the final version of the potential infrastructure bill. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Kelsey Tamburino covers renewable energy at Politico. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Adragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.